Welcome back to the Radio Nasty Podcast, the greatest podcast in all of Pleasant Valley. I'm your host, Mayor Richard, with my co-host, Vic.
What's up, Coconut?
You've just reminded me of last week's film. Now,
did you not like it? Did you not like that film last time?
Did you like it?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, I'll pick. We'll do this 90s film because you'll hate it, Richard.
Oh, fucking hell. Worst. It's like famous last words, isn't it?
Now, if the thick, stereotypical Southern accent didn't give it away, we're doing a hillbilly film.
We are indeed.
Going quite far back to 1964. As a little follow-on from our Blood Feast episode last year, we are tackling Herschel Gordon Lewis's 2,000 Maniacs.
2,000 of them. There's not.
There is. There's definitely. I counted. There's 2,000.
Right. Okay. It's not 2,000. Imagine it was just called 30 Maniacs.
Several Maniacs. Yeah. A few dozen Maniacs.
There are a few dozen, yeah.
But this film was quite famous, or maybe infamous, for being one of the films that started the whole horror trope of killer hillbillies. So,
I love it.
You've got a lot to thank this film for.
Yeah.
This also was Herschel Gordon Lewis's favourite of his own films.
This is his second film?
No, it's not his second. It's his second, splatter film.
Right, okay.
It's part of what fans refer to as the Blood Trilogy.
Yeah, I read this, yeah.
There's Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, and Colour Me Blood Red.
Lovely.
Colour Me Blood Red was a weird one as well.
Really?
Yeah. Come back next year, maybe we'll tackle that one.
Yeah.
How did this compare to Blood Feast? Obviously, that being the only other H.G. Lewis film that you've had the pleasure of witnessing.
Much better. Much better. I did like Blood Feast. It was charming.
But, yeah, yeah.
This is the same kind of film as in, this is a film that's better watched with people.
Yeah.
Like, you get more out of it taking the piss out of this kind of film, especially, Blood Feast.
Yeah.
I think the most fun we had out of that was riffing on it.
Yeah.
This is the same kind of film, but it's much better done.
Yeah. Because even in his director's intro, he was on about how he said to his producer, what if we did a good one?
Yeah.
And then in Heaven's Eyes, and I'm not saying that 2000 Maniacs is a good film, but it is compared to Blood Feast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to sit through this one together.
Yeah.
Right, shall we tackle this beast?
Yes. Go right ahead.
So our first shot is of a hillbilly sitting in a tree with binoculars. So you know what, you're off to a great start.
With the banjo playing, don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I forget the opening song is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like, yee-haw!
Herschel Gordon Lewis, wrote the song.
Yeah.
In the credits.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious.
He's wrote a few songs for his films.
Oh,
they're all fucking cracking. It's great. On the Godfather of Gore documentary, he does a rendition of it with a full band, and it's just the most wholesome thing ever. But at the same time, it's not, because he's singing about the South is gonna rise again.
Yeah, it's the most stereotypical song about the Confederacy.
Yeah.
The sail's gonna rise again. You're like, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, straight away the film's off to a cracking start in my book.
So, yeah, you've got the hillbilly in the tree, and he's eyeing up Rufus, yeah.
Rufus, yeah.
And he's eyeing up passers-by while his buddy is down on the ground, and he's messing around with road signs to lure these poor people into this Hick Town.
Yeah, he just takes the sign that directs them to the next city.
Yeah, he puts a detour sign up, doesn't he?
But it's the most tacky sign ever. You see, if I drove it, I'd be like...
But that's not official.
Nah, I don't
that's Kill the Hillbillies, that is.
Yeah, I'm going to drive around this. Even if I have to come back, I'd rather drive around that. It just looks weird. Maybe I've just watched too many horror films. And it's in broad daylight, but I'm like, nope, I'm not going down there.
The great thing is that, when he's lured a car in, and he does a little jig
I know, he's so happy once he's caught one. He's like, yeah. But it's like, you can't hear him, so he's just doing this.
Yeah, because, like, the theme's still playing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The weird thing is, though, like, it shows somebody luring in, and then another car comes, but they just let that one go.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then another car.
It's like he's looking at the license plates for some reason.
That could make sense, because they are specifically looking for Yankees, aren't they?
Yeah, so maybe he's looking for people that come from the places he's looking for.
Yeah.
Because the first time he looks at the binoculars, he looks straight in at the license plate, and then he does a thumbs up.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I originally thought it was because they specifically need six people. So I didn't know if, like, because obviously there's four people in the first car. And then maybe, like, the second car, so, like, well, there's another four, that's eight, that's too many. It's going to mess stuff up. Now I've got to wait till two people strut in.
No, he definitely looks at the license.
And yeah, and the second car has a returning actress from Blood Feast, old Connie Mason, who was Playboy of the Year in some year that I should have looked up. I could be wrong, but I think the guy that she's with is in Blood Feast as well. I think he's the cop.
He's the detective, yeah.
Yeah, but not the useless cigar smoking one.
No, he's the one.
Pipe. That was it.
Yeah, he's the one that does most of the
work.
Yeah.
So we see the cars driving in, and there's a big sign that says Pleasant Valley Centennial 1865 to 1965, and the town is like fucking decorated.
Well, like, the car drives in, and then, like, a massive crowd, like, just car. I'd be like, what is going on?
Yeah, if I drove into a fucking town and several people, I mean, there's a good probably like 25, 30 people swarmed my car waving Confederate flags. I'm going to die. This is the end of me now. Goodbye.
You know, you see these videos in the news of these, like, people driving into protesters at the minute. But I don't agree with it. But, like, this is a moment where I'd probably think about driving through them.
I like how it's kind of, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with mowing down people.
In this instance, I'd be like, should I? Because I might die.
Is them or me?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're waving Confederate flags at me. The thing is, the thing that would annoy me would be the fact that they're all so happy. That's what would creep me out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No town is like this. There's not one grumpy.
Do they greet everyone like this?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I just wanted to mention, just before this, there's a shot of, like, a group of lads, and they're abusing this black cat with a mini noose.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is about as subtle as Get Out. Oh, I was like, oh, it's a black cat. I get it.
Yeah.
And they're lynching it. They killed the fucking cat, I think, as well. That annoyed me. I was like, what are you hanging the cat for? I mean, I'm not like mega fond of cats, but
I don't think they should be hung.
Don't be lynching them. No, don't be lynching them for no reason.
For no reason. Is there ever a good reason to lynch a cat?
Well, I mean, if it killed your kids, I suppose you'd be like, I might lynch this cat. I didn't like my kids, so maybe I should get it some, you know, like
a treat.
Class A food. Yeah, like, you know, like proper treat. Or maybe I should kill it because it's a witness. I don't know.
Well, it's not the witness, it's the fucking perpetrator.
Well, then it turns out that actually the dad did it, and he's just projected it into the cat. He's like, oh no, the cat killed the kids. And it's like, it was you. That's the twist at the end. It's a Shyamalan film.
About a kid that... Cat killing kids.
Yeah, and then it turns out it's just the dad, and it was all in his head.
Oh, don't give him ideas. Yeah, but that's our introduction to Billy, one of the most irritating little cunts in cinema history.
Yeah, that is the name, Billy. Yeah, he's got this, like, I mean, most of them have, but he's got this over exaggerated, like, southern accent.
Yeah,
like, I know most of them are doing it, but his is like unbearable. I was like, please lynch this child. Lynch him like he lynched that cat.
He's proper Aryan looking as well, which doesn't help.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. But yeah, the guys in the couple in the second car, who are probably more main characters than any of the rest, they're what is it, Tom and Terry, most unfortunate couple, you know, named couple in a horror film. It's like Tom and Terry, great.
I just think they're two perfectly summed up 60s names.
Well, I guess, but they're so boring.
Yeah.
Why would you give them the same, you know, sounding name as Tom and Terry? It's like they don't even know each other. It's not as if they're even a couple.
Well, he's a perfect stranger.
I know. So he turns out he, anyway, Tom is Tom White, which he's like probably my favorite character in this. He's like crafty as fuck. He's like, he's my character in this film.
I can't believe he's your favorite character in a film about killer hicks.
Yeah, but he has the best, one of the best reactions in a horror film, like ever. He's exactly what I want from a character. He gets there and he goes, something fucking up here. There's something fucking wrong here.
What's yeah, he just on? Clicks, I mean, like, so yeah. quick. Like, I think they brought us here to kill us.
Yeah, like, he kind of, like, plays it off at the beginning. You know, he's like, you know, I've got somewhere to be. I've got to go to teach conference. And they're like, oh, you'll only be here for 2 days. And it's like, mate, I'm not staying here. We were supposed to be driving straight through. I'm not staying here for 2 days. What's going on here? And they persuade them all as well.
But it's not even really a persuasion. It's just like, you gotta stay. You're our guests of honor. Yeah, we're going to put you in the fanciest hotels and give you the best food.
Well, it's kind of like thinly veiled threats, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, it's pretty much from the onset. But then it gets like more aggressive and more aggressive as the film goes on.
But like the mayor, who I guess, who's obviously runs the town. He's the fucking mayor. Oh, the clue's in the name. Buckman. Mayor Buckman, yeah. He's on about, oh, we'll ring that there convention and tell them you'll be there in a couple of days. It's like, what's he going to do? He's going to ring them up and they'll go, oh, yeah, we'll hold this convention for you, mate, for this one bloke. Yeah, no problem.
Who are you? Who are you? Well, I'm the mayor of Pleasant Valley. I don't.
All the other fucking teachers get there, and like the head organizer's like, all right, guys, it's going to be an extra couple of days because Tom White is in some fucking hick town. The mayor assures me that he's not going to be murdered, so that's good.
Don't know why.
So, yeah, if anybody can just well, he wouldn't say he's not going to murder him if he's not going to murder him, is he? He's a mayor. He's obviously honest.
Weird that he bring that up though. Did you not think, Jeremy? Did you not think it was probably weird that he specifically said that? Now you're saying it, I do think it's a bit weird, but I didn't at the time. I've had quite a few people say that to me. Weirdly enough, a lot of people in my life have turned up dead.
Right, we might as well just actually get on with the convention, because I think Tom White's going to get murdered. Should we not, like, you know, help? I mean, we've got a big convention to do.
Well, I mean, Sally, look.
A second ago, you were on about waiting 2 whole days. Now you won't take 5 minutes to help him.
No, Sally. I've had a major revelation about my life through this convention. I've just realized and clicked that there's something that, you know, clicks together the fact that many, many people have died in my life, Sally. I think that's about as much as I need to take away from this, to be honest with you, you bitch. We're getting on with the fucking convention. You're not talking anymore, Sally. I've had enough of you.
What even goes on at a teacher's convention? Do they line up to get autographs from famous teachers?
No, they go there, and the guy that does like the convention just says, copy from the whiteboard. And they all copy from the whiteboard.
Oh, it's funny because that was our education.
Yeah. That was probably theirs. I just find it funny that, like, probably 3/4 of our teachers have just given up. So, like, just copy off the board. I've had enough of this life.
To be fair, if I was a teacher in our school, I'd have given up. But like, these fuckers can't learn anything. Look at them. Yeah, look at them.
You know what the funny thing is about that? The mayor says something, and he's like, oh, we've been waiting on you. And like one of them goes, you've been waiting for us. And he's like, not waiting for you, waiting on you. It's like, all right.
Oh, he has some weird lines.
Yeah, like, what does that mean? Are you well, Earl Buckman?
No, I'm not. I'm incredibly senile.
Oh, fucking hell.
At some point, we get a shot of the Pleasant Valley town sign, which shows us that there's a population of 2,000. Like, that's oddly round.
Yeah.
So like, we can't have anyone else more in our town now.
Yeah. Like, some guy shows up, get out. Why?
Do you think that's why the remake is called 2001 Maniacs?
Yeah, probably. Why has it got to be 2000?
We picked up one now. You've ruined our aesthetic.
So the guests of honor, they all decide to just like go along with it. They're like, okay, we'll stay here for 2 days. 2 days.
Yeah, it's not like it'll only take half an hour. It's 2 days.
Like, you know, when you go on a trip, like when you go down, like, you know, you travel, like when I travel to the cabin, it's not like I stop at fucking, you know, the little chef and go, oh, we'll just stay here for 2 days. That's all right. You know, we've got a journey to do. You just do it. Like, who's going to go, yeah, all right, fair enough. For these people we've never met in a town we've never been in, that weirdly was introduced to us by a mysterious detour sign that looked like somebody's child had drawn it.
I'm surprised anyone in this town had the education to write the word detour.
Did you see it? It looked like it was funny because it looked like they'd done the classic, like, made it too big and then they didn't have enough space for the words.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great. That's hilarious. It's the mayor says something to him as well, and he's like, he says, you know, you'll remember this as long as you live. And you're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, it's like, they might as well just said, we're gonna kill you all.
He introduces them to Rufus and Lester, and Rufus comes out with this, like, he's like, we got some good ones, dogged if we didn't. And you're like, are you all right?
No, he's not all right.
What is going on in this town? This must have been the point, you know, where Tom White, you know, you couldn't see him in the shot, but this must be the point in the background. He was like, there's something fucking wrong here.
That's when he clicked up, we're going to die. We need to get out of this town.
He is a lunatic.
That man is going to poorly throw rocks at a target to make a bigger rock fall at some point. I've just got an inkling.
But they keep saying they want these guests to get checked into the hotel so they can get them ready for the barbecue. And it's like, oh, you're going to put them in the barbecue, aren't you? Like, all these things, Richard, all these things, I would be like, you're going to put me in the barbecue, aren't you?
Yeah, it's like, they don't even really hide the fact.
No, they all start laughing, like, after they say something.
They say stuff like, we can't have the barbecue without you.
I know.
Like, am I the barbecue? Are you going to spit roast my arm? Because I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, this is the point as well where Tom's like, no, I think we want to move on. And someone in the crowd, right, says he's not only a hitchhiker, he's a party pooper too. And you're like,
I didn't hear that bit.
Yeah. And it's like Tom has this like hurt look on his face where he's like, oh, maybe I should stay because I've hurt the feelings.
I don't think it's being a party pooper not wanting to stay somewhere for 2 days when you've got a place to be.
You don't want to be horribly mutilated?
Why didn't you really say so?
I mean, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't really.
Yeah, go on then. You can mutilate me.
Yeah. But Buckman persuades them to stay. Because, like you said, he's like, you know, everything will be free. You'll have the southern hospitality. It's like, again, warning sign. Don't like the sound of that, the way you've put it. But fair enough. You senile old man. And when they, like, go off, right, I don't know if you noticed, right, but in the corner of the screen, Rufus does the cutthroat sign to Lester.
Yeah, I did pick laughing, that.
And it's like, did nobody see?
Yes, yeah, so that guy just did the cutthroat thing, and then he laughed. So we're probably gonna die. No, we all
do that round these parts.
It's how we say hello. In their defence, it's like the Night of the Living Dead. It's like, how do we deal with these flesh-eating creatures? I've never seen a movie that will show me what we have to do. It's like these people haven't seen Killer Hillbilly movies, they're none the wiser.
Just keep driving. Keep driving. Drive through them. They would drive through you. But Rufus and Lester, they want to, like, they start, like, going on about, oh, you know, we'll do our own little side business here and get our own guests.
Yeah.
And, like, Buckman shows up straight away and just tells them off.
Like, yeah, no, he just over-explains. It's like, we got 6 Yankees. We don't need any more.
Yeah, it's like, it's clear exposition.
Yeah, it's literally just for the audience.
I just found it funny that they were just like, you know, Buckman comes up and he's like, I'm not having any of this here sad business from you here, people. And it's like, and they do, like, just points his fingers at them like a teacher. And they're just like, oh, okay. We won't go and get more people to kill.
But, like, Buckman might as well have took the camera and like, right, guys, the idea is we've got these six Yankees for our little ceremony, and that's the plot of the film. We're going to kill them now. So back to the film.
And then we get this weird thing where like every like couple of characters make a comment about how like the town's like Halloween.
Is it?
Like Halloween. Like, I don't, but it literally does. It does like Tom White and Terry, and they say something. And then it's Mr. and Mrs. Wells, and they're like, oh, you know, it feels like Halloween. And then they go to Johnny Boy and his wife, whatever her name is, and they make a comment. And I was like, what about this reminds you of Halloween?
Yeah, I don't see like Jamie Lee Curtis anywhere.
Just Michael Myers in the background. Like, these people are maniacs.
It's like, what are you talking about? Halloween doesn't exist yet. That don't come out till 1978.
Johnny Boy and his girlfriend's called B, isn't it? It's B.
Yeah.
They have like a little mini argument about how like each of them are flirting with different people in the town.
And, yeah, because like, there was a weird scene in the intro where one of some, what's the woman's name?
B.
No, the woman hillbilly. Oh, Betsy. Yeah, Betsy comes up to John and starts flirting, and then Harper comes up to B and starts flirting. It's like, they can both see this. It's like, if this is part of your plan, like, wait till they're in private.
You get the feeling that the marriage is pretty much nearly dissolved already, I guess.
Still, like, have a bit of subtlety to it.
Like, nothing subtle in this film, Richard.
Oh, nothing.
But yeah, the phone rings, right, and it's Betsy. And she's, like, asking Johnny Boy to basically come out and fuck. She's literally like, you know, come out with me. And he pretends it's, like, some guy talking to him. Cause like,
oh, well, he pretends it's the mayor, doesn't he? He's like, oh, Mayor Button, you know, I can't leave. I can't say no to him. He's the mayor. I better go see what he wants.
Yeah. So, like, he heads out, meets Betsy down.
Like, if I was Beer, I'd be like, he ain't our fucking mayor. He's shit to us. Fuck him.
He's a weirdo. He's a senile old man.
He just overly expositions everything.
Yeah. Johnny like goes straight out, meets Betsy, and she's like, oh, you know, I think I could give you a tour. And he's like, well, let's start with Lover's Lane. And it's like, oh my god, this guy's sleazy as fuck. He's like straight on it. He's like, well, the wife's out of sight, let's go to Lover's Lane. And Rufus goes like, Johnny Boy, I figure you're gonna have more fun than a beagle on a coon hunt. And you're like, oh, I mean, I'm sure he's on about raccoons.
I'm not so sure.
And then Harper, which is Betsy's husband, the guy you're on about, he calls B up and he asks her out. And she's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to miss the barbecue. And this is the point where you're on about, when he's like, you know, we can't have the barbecue without you being there. And like Lester and Rufus are on either side of him, just like sniggering.
Giggling, yeah.
So like Harper and B go out and they start, you know, like getting fucking jiggy with it. And Harper like pulls out a blade and he's like, oh, look at this. And she's just like, rightly so, she's like, why are you pulling out a fucking blade, mate? Like, what's going on here? And he's like, touch it. Touch my blade. And you're like,
I don't think I will. It looks quite sharp.
Yeah. And like, obviously she puts her finger on it and he cuts her. And she calls him a backwards hayseed. She's like, you're a backwards hayseed, you.
What does that even mean?
And then Harper's like, you know, oh, let me see it. I can sort it out for you. And then chops her thumb off.
But, like, she's in distress, but not in a, what the fuck have you, what, you're going to kill me, aren't you? She's like, what have you done that for? Shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Like, what have you cut my thumb on? This ain't good. And he's like, oh, we'll take you to the doctors. So he takes her to the doctor, who also happens to be the mayor of this here town.
Buckman?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he even says, like, it gonna need some serious surgery. Like, I don't think you have a medical license.
Yeah, I know. Well, he gets Rufus and Lester and Harper to hold her down. And then Lester just goes and grabs an axe.
It's like, is this normal? Is this normal procedure for
Lester doing the surgery now? Like, it was bad enough with fucking Buckthorn, but have you seen this guy?
It's like, yeah, I can't believe that you're a doctor, let alone him.
Yeah.
Well, doctors usually have more teeth than that.
So Lester, like, chops her arm off, and she dies instantly, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if she just passed out or died, but you don't see her again, so I literally think she just dies.
Her eyes are open, and she's just like, duh, dead. But he chops her arm off, and they all have a good laugh about how they're gonna, you know, use the arm for the barbecue, as you do.
which was a shocking revelation that nobody saw coming.
My barbecues always have
Oh, she was the barbecue all along. I didn't see that coming.
That's what they were laughing about.
Oh, right. No, it makes sense now. Yeah. What a clever film.
But this is the point where Tom is like proper freak. Well, he's not freaking out. I think he says something, doesn't he? He's like, you know, I'm pretty freaked out, but, you know, there's no point in getting panicked because that's not going to help either of us. But he basically says, he's like, I'm going to call one of the teachers from the conference. And he tries to ring from the hotel first. And the operator basically says, like, oh, no, you can't do long-distance calls from this hotel.
Yes, we have to do a telegram. And they're basically like, there's no real contact outside of Pleasantville.
Yeah. But he basically says, you know, like, have you got any change? I'm going to go and find a payphone. They've got to have a payphone.
But Tom also clicks that 1865 was the end of the Civil War. And that just happens to be when their centennial is.
But he goes down to the payphone. And it's funny because he has to put on this southern accent to talk to the operator because obviously, you know, they're going to know it's fucking him that's ringing out. So he talks through and basically, like, you know, the operator puts him through and there's nobody there. And he says that he tells the hotel guy to call him or something and tell him that he wants him to ring him. And then it turns out that he's not talking to the operator at all. Well, he is, but the operator is Buckthorn. He's got like three jobs, this guy.
He's a jack of all trades. But you'd think Tom would register, like, you sound a lot like the mayor of this town that I'm trying to get out of. Are you sure you're not Mayor Buckman?
Can you imagine if, like, Buckman was doing accent as well? Like,
hello there!
But the town celebrate the barbecue, and obviously bees
are... Oh, no, you forgot about the great little scene with fucking Buckman after he hangs up the phone. Because he rings up and Buckman's pretending to be the manager of the hotel. And he's like, oh, none of the teachers are here yet. And he's like, well, that's a bit weird. But, you know, well, when they do get there, can you leave a message? And they're like, that's fine. I'll leave your message. And then when he hangs up the phone, it cuts to Buckman. And this is where you get the dramatic twist that he wasn't speaking to the manager the whole time. And he's even went to the effort of writing the note and he makes a paper aeroplane out of it. And he's like, don't worry, I'll make sure they get your message just as far as I can throw it. And he gets this little fucking paper aeroplane, lights it on fire, and then poorly throws it while laughing his head off.
Do you know, the thing that made me laugh the most about this scene was that you could clearly see the actor trying to like stretch out his lines so he could like make the aeroplane.
Do you think like when Herschel Gordon Lewis was directing him, it's like, you need to make a paper aeroplane on the scene, and he's like, yeah, I can do that. I've made paper aeroplanes before. It's like, are you sure? Yeah. It's like, do you want to like just practice a quick little paper aeroplane for me? Oh no, I promise you, I'm great at paper aeroplanes. And then the film in the scene, and he's like, yeah, I'll send your message just as far as I can throw it. And then Herschel was just like, well, I ain't got fucking money for another take, so that'll do. Cheers, mate. You could have just said, like, no, I can't make paper airplanes. I think I do need to practice.
Yeah, so the town is celebrating the barbecue, and it's funny because, like, Bee's arm is just like...
They spit roasted it, yeah, and they're just rotating it, and it's just blatantly a human arm.
Yeah, no, none of the characters are like, is that an arm?
Yeah, none of them click. Like, I've not seen Bee around lately, and that looks like an arm. Is that Bee's arm? No, that's our finest hog roast. Right, because it doesn't look like a pig. It looks more like a human arm.
Yeah. We've got weird hogs out in these parts.
We've been taking cooking lessons from Microwave Massacre.
Yeah. Johnny Boy is getting drunk with Betsy because she's like taking the piss out of him, isn't she? She's like, oh, you can't hold your liquor.
Yeah, he's like, he's fucking wanking, ain't he?
Yeah, because he's drinking moonshine. And Terry asks Buckman about the centennial, but he kind of like changes the subject at this point. And Rufus runs up and like leads him away because Tom's like still like out of action. So they all go like looking for him, and Tom just appears out of the bushes, and it's like, oh my god, he was right there. He was like, could you not have seen him? Like, I don't think yeah. that. You know what I mean? And he goes and he takes Terry, and obviously he's done, you know, he's like, something's fucked up here. Come and see this.
Yeah, this and is one. Shows
the plaque, and it's the plaque. This plaque on a stone, basically saying that Pleasant Valley was ravaged by, you know, Union soldiers, and that the centennial is basically going to be a blood revenge. And they run off, and Lester and Rufus and Buck are all looking. And Tom and Terry just run into a building.
Yeah.
And they just give up. They're just like, oh, we can't do any more of this. And then just leave.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, let's just go and do the horse race.
Are these not, like, important to you?
Yeah. It's not like, oh, we can... It doesn't matter if we miss a few. It seemed they made it quite clear that they needed all six of them. And you've just lost two of them. It's like, they might just be around that corner. It's like, yeah, but I can't be doing with going round corners.
It's funny because the funny thing is, it's Rufus that goes, oh, I can't be doing this. And the mayor just goes, yeah, all right.
Yeah. But you're supposed to be fucking running this operation. Yeah. I'd be like, no, go look around that fucking corner, because I'm pretty sure I just seen them run past it. They could literally just be waiting there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just around that corner. Like, thank God these people are fucking fickle. Or we'd be dead already.
Yeah. So Harper goes over to is it Mr. and Mrs. Wells, and he basically says, you know, I've got to take you back to the hotel now. And they're kind of like, why do we have to go now? And he's like, oh
yeah, it's like,
know,
yeah, we want to keep partying. He's like, yeah, you're going to need your rest for tomorrow. It's going to be a big day.
And basically, like, Johnny Boy gets left behind, and he's fucking, like you said, he's wankered. And they basically pick him up, and they're like, oh, you're going to be in part of a horse race. And you're like, oh, no.
I'm pretty sure he's even like, oh, I don't know how to ride a horse.
Yeah, and they're like, well, don't matter. You'll learn. And they tie each of his limbs to a different horse. And Betsy goes, bad Johnny Boy, enjoy the race. And then the horses fucking pull him apart.
Yeah, he gets quartered.
Like, oh, my God. This was it's got pretty grim for a second.
But it's weird. Like, everybody cheers. And then they stop. They have a moment. And they have like this little moment where they're all like, the fuck have we just done?
Yeah, it's like the Last House on the Left moment, isn't it?
But then, like, I think it's Lester? Or it's either Lester or Rufus. Who's like,
no, but Rufus tells them that, you know what will happen if they back out.
Yeah, and he like just demands that the band start playing. And then everybody just forgets. Like, oh, well, yeah, whatever. Let's go back to our root and toot and good time.
They're all just singing, look away, Dixieland. And it's like, oh my God, you people are brave.
But like some of the looks on their faces, it's pure dread. Just like, oh my God, this isn't nearly as glorious as I'd hoped it would be. Limbs everywhere, calling back to when we had metal albums every episode.
Yeah, it doesn't happen as often now, does it? Maybe we ran out of names.
Well, this is our reunion album, Limbs Everywhere.
Mr. and Mrs. Wells, they wake up in the morning. Some fucking guy is like annoyingly playing a guitar outside the hotel. You know, if that was me, I'd get up and I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You're sleeping, you cunt. Take your fucking guitar. I don't give a fuck what your centennial is. I'm having a lay in.
Yeah, I'm at a fucking hotel. The whole point is you're supposed to get a nice sleep. And you're fucking out here with your fucking southern country music. Piss off.
But they basically start, like, you know, expressing concerns now about being separate. They basically, don't they say something like, oh, do you not think we're being separated from everyone else? Like, it feels like everyone's being, like, kind of taken away. Like, I think it's Mr. Wells that says it. And he's like, you know, this is weird.
Because he even tries ringing Johnny, doesn't he? And then the receptionist. Yeah, he tries ringing everybody. And he gets to Johnny, and the receptionist's like, oh, he went out for a walk. And he's like, at 8 a.m.? He's like, Johnny never gets up before 10 a.m. And in his fucking state, he'd be lucky if he was up by noon. And if I was that wankered, I wouldn't be up by fucking noon.
No, but I'd be sleeping the whole day. Get up at night, still half asleep. But Lester and Rufus and Buckthorn, they say this is the point where they're like, you know, we need to keep an eye on Tom. And it's like, are you fucking for real? You were running after him last night. And I know you're like, you know, I think we should keep an eye on him. Well, yeah. Have you not been? You were physically running after Tom White last night. and Terry. And now they're all like, oh, I think we should keep an eye on him. And then Betsy and Harper, they basically do their thing again. And they offer to, like, escort, like, each of the other couple around. And then we see the other townspeople, like, getting rid of the body parts. So obviously, you know, Mr. Wells, he gets separated by Betsy again. And she takes him to this, like, barrel roll, like, thing. Where you, I don't know, you just get in a barrel and roll down.
Doesn't seem that unusual.
I'm not really up for this, to be honest with you. Like, what if I hit a rock or something? That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought they were going to, like, put him in there and roll him down into a rock.
Oh, it's much worse than that.
It's awful. It's, like, really grim. They put him in a barrel.
Well, even he's like, I'm not really up for this, you know. Can I not get in the barrel? And they're just doing, oh, you're our guest of honour. You've got to get in the barrel. It's like, do you usually put your guests of honour in barrels?
Yeah, this is weird.
Like, this is terrible hospitality.
Well, it gets worse because he gets in the barrel. And then they're like, oh, we're going to make this more comfortable for you. And then drive, like, a dozen nails in there.
And obviously he's like wiggling, trying to get out, and the mayor's like, well, don't be doing that or you're gonna hurt yourself. But yeah, it'd be a shame if I got hurt before you put the nails in the barrel.
So they drive the nails into it, so like it's facing, you know, it's gone into the barrel with him, and then they roll him down, and I was like, oh good god, that's it's like a it's really cool, but it's like pretty horrific.
It's a pretty fucking brutal for 1964.
It's a grim way to go. I mean, it's a good way of getting away with, like, not showing much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can have the actual violence done in the barrel, and then afterwards, you know, they show them covered in blood. But, I mean,
but it's great. When you see the barrel rolling, you can just so plainly tell it's a dummy in the barrel. It's like, oh, it's my like this, God.
I know.
This is wonderfully awful.
It's hilarious. It literally looks like a scarecrow or something. Tom, who's still crafty as fuck, he like goes out of his room, and there's this guy like planted outside his room, and he's like, oh, you're nearly ready to go? And he's like, yeah, just give me a few minutes. And then he creeps out of his window and goes into Terry's room. And Terry basically does, you know, like fucking, you know, she does her Playboy thing. She kind of comes out and goes like, oh, my tap won't stop. It's something like a tap won't stop running or something. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll come in and help you. And then he goes in, and Tom, like, lightly hits him with something, and he just knocks out straight away. He's just like, ooh, like, instantly. Tom kind of, like, just taps him with this. I don't even know what he hits him with, but it's just, like, instant knockout. And they run outside the fire escape or something, I think, and Harper spots them. And this scene is fucking glorious.
Yeah.
So he gives chase because like Harper sees them, and he's like, hey y'all, wait up there,
come back, you're our guest of honor.
Yeah,
I'm sick of that line, fuck off, we're out of here.
Tom and Terry run like through, see how weird it is saying that, Tom and Terry.
Yeah.
Tom and Terry like run through this like field, and then Terry randomly falls into quicksand. I was like, oh, okay, strange turn for this kind of film, but fair enough, we've got quicksand. Tom gets her out, and then Harper hilariously just like runs straight into it.
and just sinks into it. But like Tom even looks back, it's like, should I help him? I feel like I should help him. And then it's like, oh wait, no, he's trying to kill us.
Yeah, let's leave him. It's funny.
And it's great because you just see him like falling in. He's like, help me, help me. And then you just see like the air bubbles at the top.
I know.
And then it just stops.
This quicksand looks weirdly like water, like muddy water.
Yeah, it's not sandy at all.
It's just great because, like, this moment pays off so well later on.
yeah, it does, yeah.
But Rufus takes... Oh, I mean, do you want to do this bit, Richard? Because you seem to like this bit very, very much. This Mrs. Wells gets a little...
Yeah, Rufus grabs Beverly.
Ah, that's the name, Beverly.
Yeah. And she's like, what the fuck's going on? I'm not up for this. This is a bit shit. And then Rufus was like, oh, can't you see that? That's all teetering rock. And there's just like this massive fucking huge ass boulder on top of this like yellow painted tower. And there's a massive...
crudely made.
Yeah. And there's just like this big yellow platform on the floor, and they're grabbing her, and she's like, you know, what's going on? It's like, oh, well, you've got to be the judge. And she's like, well, I don't want to. I don't really think I'm the right person for that. I'm like, you're the perfect person for it. You're the guest of honor. But I'd be questioning, like, what is me lying on this platform under this big-ass fucking rock got to do with judging anything? What am I judging? Is it a rock? Yes, it is.
Do you know what, to be honest with you, the first thing I'd say if I saw that fucking contraption would I be like, how is that holding that cunt and rock up?
Yeah, why is it not crushing it immediately?
It looks like it's made out of, like, fucking car.
How did they get it up there? It's not like they've got machinery, like cranes. Have they just lifted it up? Was it always there?
Yeah. It's just that, oh no, that's always been there.
It's great though, because they're like acting like she's the ignorant bitch. It's like, you think this was easy for us to build? Now you get on that platform.
Yes, I do think it was easy for you to fucking build. Don't sit there and lie to my face, Rufus. I'm telling you right now. All right, look at the fucking
state. If you put effort into it, I'd gladly lie there and get crushed. I'd be like, you put real effort into this, but you've not. Could you not? Fuck off.
Have you not went to IKEA, at least?
We don't have none of that fancy IKEA down these parts.
Fucking hell, look at the state of it. How did you get the rock up? How's the rock balancing? Get rid of it, Rufus. Get rid of it, mate. I am going to judge it. It's shit. The rock contraption is shite. There's
it's awful. She starts getting all Simon Cowell on it. Or like fucking
your contraption Gordon Ramsay. Wants to make me vomit. Like, it's just... It's fucking... Can you imagine Gordon Ramsay?
This is the worst fucking contraption raw. I've ever seen, you fucking donkey.
Yeah. Even put it in the fucking oven.
Why would we put it in the oven? Now you're the one not making sense, Yankee.
Don't talk to me, you hick fucking cunt. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Because, like, Gordon Ramsay wouldn't take any of this. No. Guest of fucking honour, this place is shit.
Oh. It'd be funny. Like, imagine him having the fucking barbecue. Like, this arm is fucking burnt.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's a fucking human arm, this is.
That's not how you cook human arm.
Oh, this is shite. Drinks all the moonshine, doesn't get drunk. It's fucking shit.
But yeah, it's great. Like, Beverly's, like, pleading. She's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And then Mayor Buckman just comes to him and says, do you want to know a secret? I know you don't. I'll be like, it's not a great secret. I'm pleading for my life. It's well known.
You've got dementia, in you? Like, you have got dementia, haven't you? Please tell me someone... that he has dementia. It would make more sense. Can you imagine? That is the kind of thing you would imagine someone with dementia coming up. Do you want to know a secret? Yeah. Well, it's a secret. Like, okay, you're a mental case. And they've tied her down as well. She's let them tie her down. It's like, I mean, laying here underneath a teetering rock is one thing, mate. Why don't they say something like, oh, it'll make you more comfortable?
Like, no, it won't. When have restraints ever made anyone more comfortable? Yeah. I'd be more comfortable if I wasn't on this fucking platform and I was out of this ick town. But yeah, on this contraption, there's like this little target board that they've got to hit for the rock to fall. And Rufus is all like, I get the first throw. I'm the head chairman. Chairman of what?
You shouldn't be a chairman of fuck all, Rufus.
No.
I don't care.
Was he the chairman of building this construction? I mean, it would make sense. He doesn't look like the sort of guy that could build anything. Build it with my own teeth. That makes sense. So, like, he picks up her fucking baseball.
Softball. Softball, because he makes a big fucking song and dance about it, Richard. I got one of these new fancy contraptions they call... a softball. And you're like, what are we doing here?
I don't think they're new or fancy at all.
Yeah. Like, I
mean, is this the devil's ball? And he's doing like proper like stereotypical fucking baseball player stretches and everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like swinging the ball around and like doing practice shots. And then he just completely fucking misses.
Really badly.
Yeah. And then Bebby's like, oh, look, I've done it now. You can let me go. And then she's like... No. It's not over yet.
No, they're like, it hasn't fallen yet. They keep getting her to say it. They're like,
yeah, she's got to say a fucking line, ain't she?
Well, Well, Bachman, I love this line because Bachman goes like, you know, say it ain't fallen yet. And she's like, it hasn't fallen yet. And he's like, well, pardon my grammar. And I was like, oh, I love this film a little bit more for that.
I'd be the same. It's like, I'm in a dice. I've got to get some small victory. I've got to quit. I've got to fucking correct this grammar.
Please, please say it right. Please. Maybe they'd let me off because I'm a grammar Nazi.
And they're like, Buckman's even moments like, you haven't got the spirit of this at all. So, well, obviously, I don't want to be crushed by a giant rock. Thank you very much.
Can you imagine if she was just like, oh, I'm deep.
I'm gagging for this.
This is release for me. Thank you. Thank you.
This is, how did you know that my kink was being crushed by giant rocks?
Yeah.
We don't kink shame here in Pleasant Valley. Just cuts to a shot with some hink with a hick with a fucking gimp.
Oh no. Oh, get the gimp.
He's even doing like the little head tapping bit.
Yeah. That always freaks me out, that bit.
Yeah, it's eerie, isn't it?
It's the sound. I don't know what it is about it. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, it's just the sound of like his finger on like the leather.
Yeah, man's head. Oh, dear.
Something that typically isn't leathery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some one of the other townsfolk tries to throw it and then misses. And then fucking Rufus comes in for another turn. I'm like, there's plenty of other people who want a shot of this, Rufus. Back of the fucking line.
I'm the chairman.
It's like, this one gonna be for keeps.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah.
So this one actually works and the ball hits the fucking target. And an old teetering rock comes on and crushes poor Beverly.
To be honest with you, though, I really loved the way this was shot.
Yeah, it was good.
It was so, like, sudden that I was like, oh, my God. It was kind of like, you know, the barrel scene where it was kind of, like, over and done in you know, probably, like, every death in this film, I suppose.
Yeah, so you don't really get a chance to process it. It's just like,
it's kind of just done.
They're dead,
and then
yeah.
This one's, like, grim. It's just like Brock comes down, falls, crushed, damn, and it's just like a close up of her face, and you're like, oh my god.
And then as soon as it's crushed the poor woman, Rufus is like, bet I can pitch in their major leagues.
Oh no.
Like, you've just crushed a woman.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure after this all the townsfolk look ashamed again, don't they?
I think well it kind of like does this like panning shot. And, like, they look ashamed, and then it turns into, like, them grinning. So it's kind of like the change of emotion, you know? Like, it kind of does this whole, like, pan across where it's kind of like, guilty. Like,
are they all bipolar?
I just came. Like, this is incredible.
I just came in my pants.
My britches.
Yeah, we cut back to...
Tom and Terry. Talking to the hangy rope kid, Billy.
Yeah, because they're looking for their car, and then they call over Billy. And he's like, what you all want, Yankees?
God, he's so annoying.
Yeah, he's just, oh my God. You just want to strangle him. You just want to get his little fucking cat noose and tie it around his neck.
It's funny because I think you find out that the townsfolk don't even like him.
No, that's like one of the best moments in the film.
Yeah, they're like, he's a twat him.
Yeah, because Tom's like, oh, you like candy, don't you, Billy? He's like, yeah, give me. And he's like, well, I can't. It's in the back of my car, you know? If you show me where the car is, you know, you can take as much as you want and then give it to the rest of the kids. It's like, they ain't getting any.
Oh, no. But this bit reminded me of Dead Snow 2, you know, where he bribes him with the chocolate. And he's like, it's triple chocolate fudge.
Yeah,
and he's like, where's the chocolate? There is no chocolate.
But unlike in Dead Snow 2, this kid doesn't die horribly.
Unfortunately. Oh. And that kid, I quite like that kid in Dead Snow
2. I'd be quite happy if Billy died in similar circumstances.
Yeah, and we see Lester, Rufus and Buckthorn, and they're talking about how Tom is going to judge an axe throwing contest.
Yeah.
And Betsy arrives and she's like, you know, they're not, I think she finds the guy that they knocked out tied up and she's like, they've scarpered. And Tom's still with Billy, obviously, and they're finding the keys to the car. Because he starts saying like, well, I want to drive.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you can drive it on the highway. Like,
yeah, it's like they're fucking about with him. Like, oh, you know, you don't want to drive here. It's fucking boring. We'll go in the highway. And he's like, 70 miles per hour? Yippee!
I know. Everything is unbearable that comes out of that boy's
mouth. Oh, I know. No, that he goes 70 miles an hour. Hot doggy!
Yeah.
What is...
I'm going to shoot you. Tom and Terry like have a kiss at this point as well, and you're like, oh,
so was this necessary?
I'll let them off because it's the 60s.
But the whole time anybody says they're like a couple, she's always like, no, we're perfect strangers.
Oh no, it's just like, oh, shut up.
Because even Maya Buckman's like, well, you can't be that perfect strangers. You're in the same car.
But they drive the car out, and the townspeople are kind of out in force. And they just drive past them, but nah, we're off now. And you know, Lester, Rufus, and Buckthorn, when they get away, they're talking about what'll happen if they get the coppers. And Buckthorn basically just makes this comment where he's like, you know, the centennial's nearly over and nobody will be around, so they'll think they're loonies. And you're like, oh, I wonder what this means.
Yeah. Like, this is where he's go on about us. Oh, maybe if we're lucky, Billy won't come back.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's annoying, but he's a child.
Get rid of him. I'm one of them.
Without him, there's only 1,999 maniacs.
Get
that's not nearly as country.
Get Harper out of the quicksand and then put Billy in there.
I like how... Does it work like some sort of ancient god? It's like, we'll trade you up. It's
like, yeah, well, it doesn't look like fucking sand, I'm telling you.
We must appease the quicksand.
Yeah.
A life for a life.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the fucking elder god doesn't want Billy. He's like, fuck that.
Spits him out and he goes flying in the air. Like, yeah. And he's like, 70 miles per hour! Hot doggy! Splat.
But Terry and Tom are getting chased by the hillbillies in a truck.
And it's just like the most stereotypical hillbilly face. They're in like this old fucking banger. And they're like all like standing on the sides, like waving their arms in the air.
And then fucking they stop the car and Terry and Tom just like pick
Billy up and then put him on the ground. And he's like, I didn't even get my candy.
No. God, that kid is a prick. Fuck.
Oh.
But all the hillbillies, they basically grab Billy and they're like, you know, they give up the chase and they're like, you better wonder what we're gonna do to you for what you did. And Tom and Terry, they go straight to the coppers and the fucking coppers like, you know, I need to breathalyze you. And you know, to be honest with you, if I was them, I'd be like, I understand.
Yeah, we have got quite a ridiculous story here.
Yeah, like, go ahead. And the copper's, like, pretty... They're all like, oh, well, why do we have to do this? And to be fair, the copper is like, look, if everything's fine, I'll go and check and, you know, we'll try and sort this out. He's like, but I need to breathalyze you because you sound like a nutcase. And then the townspeople are basically, like, you know, wrapping up the centennial. They're packing up the town. You think. And Lester's like, you know, we got 4 out of 6. That ain't so bad. And it's like...
But they made such a big deal out of the fact that they needed the 6. Like, it's some sort of ritual that doesn't work unless they get all 6.
And then this whole time, they're literally like, well, never mind.
It'd be like, you know, at the end of the Cabin of the Woods. It's like, well, we got most of them, so it's fine. Yeah. The world gets to live another day. It's like, no, you made it sound like you needed 6. So why does it matter? If 4 out of 6 is fine, would not 0 of 6 been fine?
Yeah.
Like, could you have just not killed anyone? And then fucking Billy's all like, I'm going to catch me a cat and have some fun. Like, oh my God, get a fucking hobby.
Die.
Play. Die. I was just going to suggest he plays Fortnite or something, and you're like, die.
No, I can't justify that, mate. One day he's going to meet the wrong cat, though, and the cat is going to, like, rip him to bits. They go out with the copper, and basically the dirt road that they came down for has magically vanished. And, you know, Tom's doing the whole, like, well, there was definitely a road round here. And then the copper's like, look, I'm going to be completely honest with you here. The reason I didn't believe you and I thought you were a loony is because, you know, there's been no Pleasant Valley, you know, around here in the whole damn state. And they're like, well, there has to be because we've been there. And he's like, look, here's the tire tracks. And they're like, right, okay. He's like, this copper's like really understanding, you know. He's like, come on.
Well, he keeps going like, sure is peculiar. Yeah. And he just keeps saying like, this really is peculiar.
But they obviously find nothing. And then the copper tells them a story about a town called Pleasant Valley. And he said that basically the Yankees came and wiped out the whole town. And again, he's like, it sure is peculiar, the most peculiar thing I ever heard of. And then the camera like lingers on the, it's like the stone with a plaque on it. And then the plaque disappears.
Vanishes.
And you're like, oh, what's going on?
He even does like a stereotypical fucking little fading away noise. It was like,
so Tom and Terry, you know, they kind of pull over on the highway after this. And you know, Tom's like, you know, it definitely wasn't a dream because I found this in the back of the car. And it's one of Billy's like nooses.
And then he hangs it on his fucking mirror. And he's like, it's a souvenir. It's like, I don't want a souvenir from this horrible experience.
Well, and it's not as if it's a fucking fridge magnet. It's a noose.
And it's not even his car. Yeah. If I was her, like, can you get that fucking off my mirror?
Yeah, I don't like
it. I don't want to be driving around the deep south with a noose in my car. There's some very negative connotations with that, Tom. Oh, you've got a point on that one. I'll take it down.
But they basically say, you know, if they hear about any of the deaths from the other people, that they'll contact the state troopers. So they're just like, well, you know, out of sight, out of mind. If we don't hear about it, never mind. They might be horrifically murdered, but never mind. It's all good. And Tom, like, kind of goes to leave. He just kind of goes to get out on the highway. And I'm like, where are you going to go, mate? Are you just getting out? Like, where are you walking to? Like,
yeah, you've got a fucking convention to go to. I'll just walk. I'll walk to Atlanta.
Yeah. And Terry basically does the whole thing. You know, she's like, I'm going to Atlanta with you. Like, you know, she does the whole, like, get in.
Yes, I guess we're a couple now.
And then we get our final scene. And Rufus and Lester are kind of like
reminiscing about
the night, about the centennial. And, you know, they're like, I wonder what this place will look like in the next 100 years. And then I think Rufus is like, oh, there'll be rocket ships in the street. Will there? Maybe. Can't see it. And Lester basically, you know, they go to walk away and they're, you know, we need to, I think they say something like, we need to get to sleep before the day's over or something. They've got to stop. They've got to, like, do whatever they're doing for a certain time. And then Lester, like, walks away and he shouts for Harper. He's like, you know, come on, Harper, get up. It's Tam. And then Harper just gets out of the quicksand.
Yeah.
It's like, why are we?
He's like, hey, wait for me. So if you could get out, why didn't you just get out?
Yeah.
Like, you could have chased them down. You might have got all six.
Oh, it's just strange.
It's like he just falls in. It's like, oh, I might as well wait here now until it's all over.
I've been embarrassed here. So they walk into, like, the woods, and then this fog kind of comes in, and they all disappear.
I guess they disappear until 2065. I want to see a 2065 version of this. Why does that not exist?
2000 maniacs in Spain.
Oh, don't get me so hard. That's great, because as the film ends, you get like little character shots with all the actors and their character names. They're just great.
It always reminds me of Predator, because that's the first time I ever saw that.
Yeah.
And that's the film.
You know what annoys me about, like, the Predator end credits, though? Because they all do little, like, thumbs up and, like, looks at the camera. It's like, why is there not one with the Predator? And he's just like, hey! Yeah, and that was 2000 Maniacs. Now, there is a remake of this film, isn't there?
Yeah.
Called 2001 Maniacs.
Yes.
And you've seen it, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
How does it compare?
From what I remember of 2001 Maniacs, it was fucking... I don't think I even finished 2001. Oh,
fucking hell. Is it that bad?
I think what happened was it was one of the movies that I recorded off, like, Sci-Fi or the Horror Channel. And when I first moved into the flat and I had Sky, and I recorded it and I started watching it, and I was like, nah, I'm not watching that.
I mean, it must have been bad if you turned off a film about killer hillbillies.
Yeah, it was fucking... The acting was fucking...
Hasn't it got Robert Englund in it?
Yeah, it was awful. Oh, I think Charlotte's seen it as well.
Oh, maybe we'll have to do that one day.
It's grim. I think they did a sequel to that as well. And
I think there's a few sequels.
Well, the sequel to 2001 Maniacs, instead of Robert Englund playing the guy, I think it was Bill Moseley that played the guy.
See, that just sounds great, but...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the sequel, but I mean, first one's horrible.
Right, shall we move on to our ratings for 2000 Maniacs? I'll let you go first, seeing as Killer Hillbillies is your gem.
So, as a film, it's... Oh, I don't know. It's hard to rate this. I can't even remember what I gave Blood Feast.
I think collectively we gave it a 2.
Right, okay.
But I think we were generous because obviously it was very unique for its time in terms of like gore and effects.
I don't know. I think as a film, I'm going to give it this like probably a 2.5.
Maybe. Okay.
It's not great. It's not even that good, I guess. It's pretty...
it's pretty bad.
It's pretty shoddily made. Do you know what I mean? There's some fucking shots in this film that were awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I was like, pan the camera down. You've got like half of her face on camera. And they were like, shit, it was just... And the acting's like so over the top. And
yeah.
Tom White's all right. He's probably like the most bearable of them. But it's all like really overacted. And again, there's not really much to the film. It's just... it's a centennial people who like to kill Yankees and then they turn out to be ghosts.
Which was an odd ending.
Yeah, it's like a white, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those films. It's kind of like, you know, it's bad going into it. So, you know, for fun factor, I'd probably give it... I didn't have as much fun with this as I thought I was. Maybe it would have been better if we'd watched this together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I watched this on my own. I didn't like it. I think I'm going to give it, from fact, probably 3.5. There was, you know, there's a lot of good parts. It's just, some of it's quite hard to get through because of how, like, bad it is.
Yeah, some of the dialogue is just unbearable. They just explain everything that's happening about 5 times. Yeah. It's like, we get it. You need 6 people.
But weirdly enough, which is going to sound very contradictive, and one of the reasons I gave it a 2.5 in the film, but also probably why I give it more of a score in the fun factor, because the overacting like added to it.
It's part of its charm, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, you know, they're all ridiculous, but they were funny to like laugh at because you were like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, they're so over the top. It's funny. And some of the kills are pretty inventive, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, for 1964, yeah. I don't think it's as gory as Blood Feast, though.
Yeah, see, I don't really remember. I remember Blood Feast. I don't remember how gory it was, though. Do you know what I mean? It was a lot of gore in the barrel scene.
Yeah.
But everything else, yeah, I mean, the arm, I suppose, but excuse me. Just liked how inventive they were.
There's a lot of inventive kills in his film.
Right, okay. So is that what he's like known for?
Yeah, yeah. Like some of the stuff gets really fucking wacky towards like the later end of his, which I'm sure we'll get to.
It's all right. It's I think I'd watch it again, but I'd watch it with friends.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely are better enjoyed as a crowd.
I think it'd be hilarious if you watched it with a group of people. But yeah, it's all right. I think I went into it because it was a hillbilly movie, expecting to really like it, and then I just liked it.
Not bad for the first ever killer hillbilly film. Yeah. Killbillies.
Obviously, it gets points for spawning that genre. Your ratings.
Yeah, so as a film, I'll give it 2. It's not very good, is it? It's pretty poor, but it is what it is. It's even Herschel Gordon Lewis said it's not. He hasn't came out and tried to make a groundbreaking film. He's just given people a bloody fun. That's just sums up his films. He's just not
a fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2, which is the same score I gave Blood Feast. It's definitely a better film than Blood Feast, but it's not as... I mean, it's probably not the right term, but it's not as groundbreaking as Blood Feast. So I'm sort of... I'm adding a bit because it's a better film, but also taking a bit away. Because I think we were a lot more lenient on Blood Feast just because it was inventive. Like, if a film like Blood Feast came out, like, years later, like, that probably would have been, like, a 1 or a 0.5 star. It's fucking garbage, but... Yeah, it's not the best film I've ever seen in my life, to be perfectly honest. But fun factor... What you say? Sorry.
It disappointed me a little bit. That's probably what I felt about this movie, which is a shame. It was kind of like, but again, like I said, I think I went into it too overhyped. I was like, oh
yeah, you've all killer hillbillies, yeah, yeah,
exactly, yeah,
yeah.
Anything fucking southern gets me.
Yeah, it's just a shame. Obviously, we couldn't watch it together.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So some fun factor. I'm gonna say the same as you. 3.5. It's. It's one of those films that if you're, like, interested in seeing, like, the history of horror films, it is worth checking out.
Yeah.
because there are a lot of people who are heavily inspired by H.G. Lewis films, and this is like one of his most renowned films. So it's definitely worth checking out. It does have its charm. I am a bit of a sucker for bad 60s horror films.
Yeah, see, like, I think, yeah, this film's, like, a lot more catered to, you know, more of the stuff that you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, I enjoy these films, but it's not like I go as wild for them, you know, like you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's kind of like, you know, you like those kind of, it's, you know, like the Italian horror films, it's more like that. It's just not something I'd love. And it's like, it's kind of like, do you know what I kind of felt like when I was watching when I'm watching these kind of films? It kind of feels like I'm kind of watching an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, but with blood.
It's the only way I can get that, like, how I feel about it across. Like, it's happened with a few films, you know, like from the older era. Especially like these kind of films where it's supposed to be silly, and you just like it's like the overacting and everything. It's like this feels like Scooby Doo or something, which is still fun because I love Scooby Doo. But it's just like I wouldn't go out of my way to watch this again. Put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really particularly think many of his films have much rewatch value.
No, it's more of the spectacle kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because I definitely haven't enjoyed it as much the second time. But again, I think I would have enjoyed it more if I did get to see it with you or someone else.
Yeah, exactly. It's the films are great. Like, again, like this is the, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's more catered to you in that sense. But you know, that's, you know, you could watch that more easily on your own. Whereas it's the kind of films that I enjoy them, but I enjoy them more when I'm watching it to take the piss out. And obviously you can do that when you're on your own, but it's not as fun because
you just feel like you're talking to yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, like sometimes you do it with combo. He just kind of looks at you like, I don't know what you're on about, Dad. I'm still traumatized from being in hell. Thank you. I love how nobody's asked about my well-being.
For all this. Yeah. So is the dog all right? I'm horribly scarred, yeah, but is the dog all right? Yeah, yeah, it might be his favourite of his films, but it's not my favourite.
I mean, I'd probably like it better than Blood Feast.
Yeah, yeah, you would, though.
It's not saying much, do you know what I mean? It's like I didn't love Blood Feast either.
Right, yeah, so that wraps up. Do you want to talk about what film we're doing next week?
Right, so next week we're going to be doing something a little bit more recent. It's 2012 horror comedy. You haven't seen it yet, have you, Richard?
No.
I love this movie. It is Grabbers, which is about a little Irish coastal town who is invaded by Cthulhu monsters, and the only way they can stop them is to get drunk because they're poisoned by alcohol, so they can't eat them. It's a fun little movie.
I'm not going to lie, that sounds pretty fucking awesome.
And they're Irish, so it's even funnier. It's got one of the guys out of Being Human in it, you know. Do you ever watch Being Human?
Yeah, I watched the first few seasons. I sort of gave up when everybody died.
Yeah, yeah. The werewolf.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Right, if you want to hear that, then tune in next week. And until then, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The South is gonna rise again.